From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Welcome once again to Let the Bible Speak, featuring messages from the ministry of Dr. Alan Cairns, founder of Let the Bible Speak Radio Ministries. On today's broadcast, Dr. Cairns will continue this series of studies in the life and earthly ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. We'll hear from Dr. Cairns shortly. First of all, we invite you to enjoy this devotional thought from the pen of the great 19th century English preacher Charles Haddon Spurgeon, found in his collection called Faith's Checkbook. Today's devotional is entitled, At God's Bidding. The text is Micah chapter 5 and verse 7. And the remnant of Jacob shall be in the midst of many people, as a dew from the Lord, as the showers upon the grass, that tarrieth not for man, nor waiteth for the sons of men. If this be true of the literal Israel, much more is it true of the spiritual Israel, the believing people of God. When saints are what they should be, they are an incalculable blessing to those among whom they are scattered. They are as the dew, for in a quiet, unobtrusive manner, they refresh those around them. Silently but effectually, they minister to the life, growth, and joy of those who dwell with them. Coming fresh from heaven, glistening like diamonds in the sun, gracious men and women attend to the feeble and insignificant, till each blade of grass has its own drop of dew. Little as individuals, they are, when united, all-sufficient for the purposes of love which the Lord fulfills through them. Dewdrops accomplish the refreshing of broad acres. Lord, make us like the dew. Godly people are as showers which come at God's bidding, without man's leave and license. They work for God, whether men desire it or not. They no more ask human permission than the rain does. Lord, make us thus boldly prompt and free in thy service, wherever our lot is cast.
My hand will say.
Down through the centuries, there have been remarkable visitations of God, during which thousands were gloriously saved. Times such as the Protestant Reformation, the revivals in England under John Wesley and George Whitefield, the Great Awakening in America associated with Jonathan Edwards, were times of genuine spiritual revival. The common factor in all of these events was an undeniable demonstration of the power of God rather than the ingenuity of man. In the early 1950s, such a revival occurred on the Isle of Lewis, one of the Hebrides off the west coast of Scotland. In the course of several years, hundreds of people were converted to Christ, and many churches were built to take care of them. Again, the Holy Spirit of God came down in power. The preacher during those days was the Reverend Duncan Campbell. Yet what took place on Lewis was not due to his pulpit skills, but to the overwhelming moving of God among the people. Strong men, hardened sinners who mocked the preacher, were suddenly struck to their knees by the roadside under conviction of sin. Young people in a local dance hall left their frivolity and ran to the churches, crying for mercy upon their souls. Let the Bible Speak is pleased to make available CD copies of what happened during those revival times on the Isle of Lewis, including Duncan Campbell's own account of that, as well as personal testimonies of people who came to salvation in Jesus Christ during those revival times. To obtain your own copies of what happened at that time, just request the CDs of the Revival on the Isle of Lewis. You may call us at 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Or if you wish, you may write Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. You will be blessed greatly as you listen to these accounts of the power of God at work. Today on Let the Bible Speak, Dr. Cairns continues the first of two messages on the theme, The Commanding Christ. The principal text is Luke chapter 5, verses 1 through 11, the account of the miraculous catch of fish. Peter and his partners had fished all night and caught nothing. But when Christ told them to go back and to cast their nets into deep water, Peter was reluctant, yet he obeyed the Lord's word. The result was an enormous catch of fish, showing the power of Christ's word and causing Peter to see his own sinfulness as well as Christ's glory. Sometimes God's command seems totally against our natural response and experience. We need to learn the value of Peter's response. Nevertheless, at thy word I will let down the net. Submission to the Lord's word always results in great blessing. Peter was humbled, but Christ encouraged him with the assurance that, "From henceforth you will catch men." This was the Lord's promise of the success of the gospel. Now Dr. Cairns brings the next portion of this message, the commanding Christ.
Peter and James and John and Andrew had indeed been called, but they were, if we could sort of put it this way, they were still part-time. That comes through very clearly if you compare Scripture with Scripture. They returned to their jobs. Perhaps there had to be a day or two or a week or two when they had to be back at the boats. And here we find them back at the job, back at the fishing. It seems to me that they worked mostly with Christ all day, got as little sleep as they needed, and then worked the fishing all night. I gather that's certainly what they did at this time, and it would appear a fairly good guess that they did it with some regularity. In any case, we read that Peter says, "We have toiled all night." They were out in the ships all night. These men were toiling, and when Peter says we toiled, he meant that. We toiled all night. After toiling all night, he sees his boat turned into a pulpit as the Lord Jesus uses it from which to address the people. And immediately after that, turns to Peter and says, "Now Peter," or Simon as he was then called, "launch out into the deep and let down your net for a draught." Now Peter was tired, and he was weary of fishing. What's more, Peter knew his lake, and he knew that, humanly speaking, it was a waste of time going out. Bishop Ryle points out that the way the Savior commanded this was a particular trial of any fisherman's faith, because he said not just launch out and let down the nets, but launch out into the deep. And as Ryle points out, any professional fisherman knew that that's the last place you're likely to find the fish. They didn't get their great catches out in the deep. If you go visiting the Sea of Galilee to this day, you'll see where they cast their nets is not out in the deep. But Jesus said, "Peter, you've toiled all night, you've caught nothing. I know that, but still, into the deep." Peter registers his mild little protest, "Master, we have toiled, we are weary." But then he says, and this is where faith kicks in, "Nevertheless." Nevertheless, that's a great word. I remember a Reformed Presbyterian minister preaching a whole sermon on that one word. Beautifully constructed sermon. It's far beyond me to do it. I couldn't have the discipline to do it. He must have been reading it or something, or have memorized it, but he went right through the Bible, situation after situation after situation, and the connecting theme every time was, "Nevertheless, nevertheless." Study it sometime. Because there's many a time in your life when "nevertheless" has to come into play. When the Lord commands, the Lord calls, the Lord directs, and everything in your flesh cries out against it, everything in your experience cries out against it, but you bow before the Lord and say, "Lord, nevertheless, my thoughts, let them perish. My purposes, let them perish. My experience, let it all be a lie. Indeed, let every man be a liar, and let God be true. I will stand by what the Lord says." That's what Peter was saying here. To me, it seems a waste of time. To human wisdom, it seems an impossibility. But nevertheless, at thy command, I will let down the net. I remember Willie Mullen pointing out that Jesus said, "Let down your nets." That meant they'd have to go and get their partners and all out with them at that time. Let down all the nets you have. And Peter's faith was great. "Nevertheless, at thy command we'll go." But he said, "We'll let down the net." And Peter was the loser. because they enclosed a great multitude of fish, so much that the net began to break. And they had to call in the others just to salvage what they had caught. If they got all the nets they could, they'd have filled them all. They'd have filled them all. Does it not remind you of that poor widow in the Old Testament? She comes to Elisha and she says, they're going to take my children, they're going to sell them because my husband's dead and I have nothing to pay his debts. Bring all the empty vessels you can get. Bring them all. And every vessel that came was miraculously filled with the oil of God. And when did the oil stay? When they didn't bring anything more to put it in. Exactly the same here. Sometimes we pride ourselves in our great faith. Nevertheless, Lord, we'll do this. But underneath that great faith, there's really very little faith. And we are the losers. But nonetheless, Peter went out. And they brought in this great haul of fish. His submission brought a great blessing, as it always does. It brought an even greater blessing. Because this was the beginning, and I'm not going to pursue this because it's beside my subject this morning, but this is the beginning of something wonderful in the life of Simon Peter. He had already met with Christ. John chapter 1, we have looked at that already. He'd already heard the Lord Jesus say, you're called Simon, but you will be called Peter. Something had begun, you would say, had been saved. But there was still a great need for understanding himself and understanding the Lord in Peter. And here he sees the glory of the Lord as he has never seen it before. And that's why he says, depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord, falling down at Jesus' knees. He prays that. Not that he wanted Christ to depart, but Peter felt how glorious Christ was and how sinful he was. How worthy the Savior was and how unworthy he himself was. That's what was borne in upon Peter's mind. Let me tell you, my friend, that made all the toil of going out into the deep worthwhile. That was a greater blessing than the net that was full to capacity with the fish, with all the profit that the sales of those fish would bring. This was the blessing of all blessings. Peter caught a glimpse of the glory of his Savior. Peter began to grasp something of the majesty and the sovereignty and the deity of Jesus Christ. He fell down on his knees. He confessed him as his Lord. And he says, Lord, I'm not worthy to be in your presence. I am a sinful man. Can I say this to you? First of all, you will never be saved until you come to terms with who Jesus Christ is and who you are and what you are before him. You receive Christ by repentance and faith, both of which are evident in what Peter was saying. And if you are saved and you have already come to Christ, you will never amount to anything much in the service of God, no matter how vast your talent, no matter how great your ability, no matter how immense your energy, you will never amount to anything much in the service of your Christ until you are overwhelmed by his glory. And you fall at his knees and you feel yourself a sinful and unworthy wretch. I haven't time to pursue this, but I'll say it anyway in passing. This is when my wife trembles. But when I say things in passing, sometimes I get stuck there. You will see the effect of a genuine miracle. A genuine miracle glorifies Christ and humbles human flesh in the dust. Much of what we hear today about so-called miracles seem to me to glorify a preacher, magnify a man. When I hear some idiot like the so-called evangelist Howard Rodney Brown talk about miracles that make people just fall on the ground laughing, when he preaches about hell, people laugh their heads off at the thought of the souls damned in hell. And this is supposed to be the miraculous working of the Holy Spirit of God. I tell you, this is a supernatural working, perhaps, but if it is, it is of another spirit entirely. A genuine working of miraculous power has only one effect. It is to glorify Christ and debase proud flesh. Always and inevitably. Peter says, Lord, I've seen your glory and I am unworthy. But you know, and this is the vital part, the vision of the glory of Christ is never intended to intimidate, but to invigorate. See that very clearly here. Peter, seeing the glory of the Savior, feeling his own inability and unworthiness, immediately feels there has to be distance between me and the Lord. The Lord could not put up with me in his close presence. In other words, Peter felt, because of how great Christ was and how poor he was, that he was useless. But the Lord Jesus turns that right around. And notice what he says in verse 10. Simon, he says, fear not. Fear not. Now, what does he mean here? Obviously, he's not saying don't fear God, because we're commanded to fear God, and a godly fear, such as Peter was showing, is a very good thing. But this fear that you're being driven out of my presence, this fear that you're being rendered useless in my service, this fear that you can never amount to anything in the work of God, get rid of it. Fear not. From henceforth thou shalt catch men. From henceforth thou shalt catch men. You see what he's saying? Peter, far from this realization debarring you from the service of the Lord, it actually equips you. Far from the vision of Christ's glory putting you away, it draws you near. It's not to intimidate, but it is to invigorate.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us at 1-864-244-2408. That's 1-864-244-2408. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. This is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.